Arizona News Radio. Eastbound Interstate 10 traffic in southeast Phoenix reopened after a deadly traffic accident with two tankers. There's still problems for westbound.
This was a tanker dairy truck that rear-ended another tanker truck. We believe that truck was carrying diesel, a diesel gas byproduct.
Customs and Border Protection officers at Nogales fined a ton and a half of marijuana in a shipment of watermelons.
The watermelons were in containers or crates, large crates, the kind you see in grocery stores and usually pick them up. And then the bundles were just concealed, you know, inside the crates.
The jury in the trial of convicted baseline killer Mark Goodeau hears from relatives of some of his victims.
Family members of murder victim Georgia Thompson tell the court Goodeau took away a loving, vivacious, and smart daughter and sister.
Chandler police arrest five students at a junior high for threatening their teacher.
Based off of the very graphic language that was on the note.
George Tanner, Arizona News.
This checkup, your KFNX traffic, is a service of 1-800-SAFE-AUTO. Look for an injury collision westbound I-10 at 19th Avenue. Also, we do have a fender bender on the right shoulder northbound I-17 at Peoria. Look for an injury accident westbound Loop 202 at Sky Harbor Boulevard. You know what's small and powerful? State minimum coverage from SAFE-AUTO. Small enough to be affordable, powerful enough to be keep you legal. 1-800-SAFE-AUTO, state minimum coverage, maximum savings. Here is your Wednesday afternoon forecast.
Jim Howell from the KFNX Weather Center. Hope you're enjoying some warmer weather. We'll continue mid-70s tomorrow and Friday before another storm approaches late Saturday. Scattered desert showers for the valley Saturday evening. We turn cooler on Sunday. Jim Howell, KFNX News Talk Radio, 1100.
Thank you, Jimmy. KFNX News Time is 4:05. Currently in the corridor, we are at 73 degrees. Our next news will be in 30 minutes or when it breaks. You're listening to KFNX News Talk Radio 1100. I'm Chet Reynolds, and you're up to date.
The Great American Smokeout asks you to quit smoking for a day. Can the Ash Line continue to help you quit?
The American Cancer Society's Great American Smokeout is November 17th, and we know it's really hard to quit. The Arizona Smokers Helpline, the Ash Line, is there to help you at 1-800-556-6222 or www.ashline.org. Get your own personal coach. Once again, that's 1-800-556-6222 or www.ashline.org.
Arizona is working for a better tomorrow, so it's important to get involved. Clean Elections is one great way. Passed by Arizona voters in 1998, Clean Elections opens the door for all Arizonans to run for office and gives voters a voice in the state's political process. So by providing more voices and more choices, Clean Elections empowers us all to help shape Arizona's future. Learn how you can get involved at cleanelections101.com.
Arizona's News Talk Leader, KFNX, AM 1100.
This program is intended for a mature audience.
Most of my job's dealing with sexual harassment complaints, so...
Is this me, the sexism?
It contains scenes and dialogue of a strong sexual nature.
You made this happen! You made me think of sex!
Audience discretion is advised.
If people spent less time thinking about sex and more time concentrating on comic books, we'd have far fewer of these embarrassing moments.
Welcome to Legalese. This is your host, Jack Wilinchek, your regular host, Dennis Wilinchek. Couldn't make it today. As you may have guessed, our topic for today is sexual harassment. It seems to be in the news a lot lately with all the peccadilloes the media is talking about coming from Herman Cain. Today on the show, being that we have a legal focus, we're going to be talking about what constitutes sexual harassment in the workplace or otherwise. I have in the studio here a local attorney who specializes. Are you a certified specialist?
who regularly practices
in sexual harassment law. Her name is Michelle Matheson. Also, later in the show, if sexual harassment isn't your cup of tea, stick around because we'll be talking to Pastor Terry Jones, the controversial pastor who threatened to burn the Quran and then backed down and then suddenly, you know, did it. We'll have him from 4:30 to 5 o'clock. So I guess we'll give a little bit of a background on the Herman Cain thing, although I'm sure most of our listeners are sick to death of it. We have a few clips here of various statements being made. We'll start with clip number one, which I'm sure everybody has heard, a clip of Sharon Bialik making her accusation.
He suddenly reached over, and he put his hand on my leg, under my skirt, and reached for my genitals. He also grabbed my head and brought it towards his crotch. I was very, very surprised and very shocked. I said, "What are you doing? You know I have a boyfriend. This isn't what I came here for." Mr. Kane said, "You want a job, right?"
That's pretty clearly, I think, we're satisfying the elements there of a claim for sexual harassment. Would you agree with that, Michelle?
Yeah, I think that falls under the more egregious type of sexual harassment, Jack. There's generally two ways to prove a sexual harassment claim. And one is called quid pro quo, meaning something for something. And based on what she just stated, she's saying, "I'm an applicant for employment. He's asking for a sexual favor in exchange for her being hired." That would be considered quid pro quo sexual harassment.
Right. And we were talking about it a little bit off the air. You know, when you make a claim for sexual harassment at work or otherwise in general, it falls under two different bodies of law. I know you focus mostly on you know, in the context of employment. You know, you're working and you get sexually harassed at work. Could you give us, though, a little bit of an overview of that distinction and what it actually means to somebody who's been sexually harassed at work or not at work?
Sure. Well, first of all, sexual harassment can be proved in one of two different ways. The quid pro quo that we just talked about, where you're conditioning some job benefit or detriment on that person engaging or not engaging in certain conduct. So something for something. You know, if you do this for me, I'll help you get that promotion. If you do this for me, I'll hire you. Or it could be in the reverse. If you don't go out with me, I'm not going to support that raise that you want. That is the most traditional form of sexual harassment. But as the law has expanded, the courts have recognized that it's not always that blatant and that there can be other ways in which inappropriate, unwelcome conduct of a sexual nature interferes with a woman's ability to do her job. So, for example, unwelcome touching could be offensive emails, video clips, voicemails, or just direct comments.
So even if it's not strictly in an employment context, you can still sue.
Well, and I will tell you, Jack, I don't deal with that in my practice, but certainly I could think of circumstances where there could be an unwelcome touching outside the employment context. I would call that more of an assault or a battery than I would sexual harassment.
Right. So what happened here, too, or what Sharon Bialik is alleging happened, that would be it's technically that's in the context of her employment because, like you say, it was a quid pro quo. She was asking for a job. So it falls under a Title VII employment, sexual harassment in employment context claim.
That's my opinion, Jack, and particularly so if Mr. Kane was in a position to make a decision as to whether or not she would be hired for that position.
Right. I guess we'll delve into the Herman Kane situation a little bit more. We'll play clip number three here, Chet. Herman Kane was asked whether he'd submit to a lie detector test by a reporter at a press conference.
Would you be willing to do a lie detector test to prove your honesty in something like this?
Even yes.
Though I'm sure.
Oh,
go ahead.
Yes, I absolutely would. But I'm not going to do that unless I have a good reason to do that.
Let's also play clip number four, Chet. That's more of Herman Kane about Herman Kane's response.
I don't even know who this woman is. I didn't recognize the name at all. These anonymous allegations are false, and now the Democrat machine in America has brought forth a troubled woman to make false accusations. Sexual harassment is a very serious charge. In no way have I tried to minimize sexual harassment in the workplace. To the best of my recollection, since you mentioned that particular name, that is the one that I recall that filed a complaint, but it was found to be baseless. Withdrawal from this presidential primary race ain't gonna happen.
There was one strange statement in there. He said something about, I'm not going to minimize sexual harassment at the workplace. I don't know if that was a misquote of some kind, but I'm not sure what he meant by that. But I'm sure all this has a familiar feel to you, Michelle.
You know, it certainly does. And I found in my practice that certainly professional women have expressed a preference to me to come to a woman to help them with these types of issues.
Yeah. I understand there's been some new allegations, too, or relatively new, made about a week ago. A man named Chris Wilton, on none other than the radio. It's clip number 5, Chet. It's Chris Wilton discussing, I guess, even more women who are possibly going to allege what these other women have already alleged, that Herman Cain sexually harassed them.
I was the pollster for the National Restaurant Association when Herman Cain was the head of it. And I'll tell you, I was actually around a couple of times where this happened. And anyone who was involved with the Restaurant Association at the time knew that this was going to come up. At the time, she was a very lower-level staffer. I think she was maybe 2 years out of college. And this all occurred at a restaurant in Crystal City, and everybody was very aware of it. And so it was only a matter of time, because so many people were aware of what took place. So many people were aware of her situation and the fact that she left after this. If she does go on the air and talk about it, I think it'll be the end of this campaign.
Let me ask you, Michelle, do you run across a lot of guys like Herman Cain is starting to sound like, you know, starting to sound like the case is with Herman Cain, who are kind of perpetual sexual harassers?
You know, it certainly would not be a first in my practice. Obviously, sexual harassment can occur by a coworker or by someone in a supervisory position. And what's troubling to me about these particular allegations is that he was in a very high level position within the organization, and certainly the law would hold someone in a supervisory position to a higher standard.
Right. We have to take our break in a few moments here, but we'll come back talking about that, and we'll also talk about, you know, the layout of the law in this area a little bit more. Later in the show, we have Pastor Terry Jones coming on, and right now I'm talking to Michelle Matheson, who is a local attorney who focuses on sexual harassment law. This is Jack Wilinchek on KFNX.
Lou Dobbs, afternoons at 1 on KFNX.
Since 1991, the law offices of Wilinchek & Bartness have provided the quality business litigation service that you'd find at a big firm with small firm atmosphere. Wilinchek & Bartness focus on cases involving breach of contract, real estate litigation, construction defect, business fraud, and breach of fiduciary duty. For professional yet very personal legal representation, call Wilinchek & Bartness today at 602-606-2810. That's 602-606-2810.
Hi, I'm Dr. Bob Marshall, host of Healthline. Join me live to get your questions answered and hear the latest breakthrough information for you and your family. Healthline, the world's leader in cell-resonant nutrition technology, delivers what others only promise, nutrition that really works. This month, Quantum Digest is on special, the Lexus of digestants. It works in the broadest range of pH. It's the most purified USP plant enzymes. No matter what you eat, it has the power to support that digestion. Feel the difference Quantum Digest can make. No one should eat cooked food without it. Studies suggest it can preserve your digestive power throughout your life. It's like insurance for a good quality of life. Buy two bottles, get a third one free. Call 800-370-3447. That's 800-370-3447. Experience nutrition that really works.
Healthline with Dr. Bob Marshall, every Saturday at 9 a.m. here on KFNX News Talk Radio 1100.
Attention women business owners looking for strategies to grow your business and build professional relationships with other successful women? Then we invite you to join the Phoenix chapter of the National Association of Women Business Owners. NABO is one of the 5 most influential organizations in the Valley, according to the Business Journal. We offer many networking opportunities, business education seminars, and a nationally recognized mentoring program. For more info, go to nawbophx.org or call 602-772-4985. That's 602-772-4985.
Laura Ingram,
Mornings at 6 on KFNX.
I try to sleep, they're wide awake, they won't let me alone. They don't get paid to take vacations, they'll let me alone. They spy on me, I try to hide, they won't let me alone. They persecute me, they're the judge and jury all in one.
Welcome back to Legalese. This is Jack Wilencheck filling in for Dennis Wilencheck. Today on the show, we've been talking about sexual harassment since, you know, we keep hearing it in the news. We're talking about Herman Cain a little bit, and I have in the studio here Michelle Matheson from the law firm of Matheson & Matheson, who focuses on sexual harassment law. And I think what we'll do, we'll talk about what to do, you know, if you have a potential lawsuit for sexual harassment. And, you know, we've been trying to tie it into the whole Herman Cain thing as best we can. I guess I'll start with this. You know, a lot of these women coming forth with allegations against Herman Cain can't sue, right? Because the statute of limitations, my understanding is a lot of these incidents were years ago. The statute of limitations is very short. Would you like to explain that?
Sure. As a general rule, the sexual harassment claim is a statutory claim under Title VII of the Civil Rights Act, which is a federal statute that's been in place since 1964. And under that statute, a woman needs to go to either the state or federal agency where she was working or where she lives now and make an administrative complaint of sexual harassment before she could file a lawsuit under that statute. And the general time frame is 300 days. So there are some limited exceptions that can extend that where it is a pattern of continuing conduct. Mm. But as a general rule, my advice to people who come see me is you need to get to the EEOC, or if it's a smaller employer here in Arizona, you need to get to the Arizona Attorney General's Office, the Civil Rights Division, within 300 days of when you've experienced conduct that you think was sexually harassing.
Yeah, that's pretty much ASAP. I mean, 300 days, as far as statute of limitations go, is very, very short.
Absolutely. And I think sometimes people don't understand, though, that those state or federal agencies don't necessarily investigate other claims that could arise. You had mentioned this earlier, Jack, a battery claim, an assault claim, a false imprisonment claim. Those all have their own statutes of limitations. And
they're a little bit longer. Right?
They're a little bit longer, but the fact that it's being investigated by one of these agencies does not stop that statute of limitations. And the investigation process can, in some cases, take years.
Right. We talked about it a little bit before. You know, the federal law technically only covers businesses with 15 employees or more. But in the state of Arizona, unlike some other employment issues, you know, there's a right to sue for sexual harassment, you know, no matter how big the company you work for is. Everybody has that right.
That's correct, and that's very unique. Sexual harassment is the one claim in Arizona that if an employer has one or more employees, then there is a claim for sexual harassment under the state act.
Yeah, it's a good thing. So you have a few more questions here for you. Well, I was just thinking one, the EEOC, so say somebody has something happen to them at the workplace that may or may not be sexual harassment. They don't have to necessarily to file a claim with the EEOC. You don't necessarily have to have an attorney.
That's certainly correct. And you know, there are other steps that employees can take even before going to the EEOC if they're comfortable doing so. Many companies will have policies where either you can report in an anonymous fashion to some sort of a hotline or go through their HR process. But if an employee has gone through those processes, they haven't been effective, or for some reason they don't feel comfortable with that, then they can always go to either, in this case, the Arizona Civil Rights Division or the EEOC.
Right. Let me ask you to give your opinion on this. Do sexual harassment complaints occur more commonly in certain industries than others? I'm already thinking, you know, strip clubs and Hooters type establishments.
I am pleased to say that I have never dealt with a claim arising from either of those places. my thought is certainly there are some workplaces where the work environment is less formal than you would expect in a white-collar corporate environment. That being said,
like restaurants and
that certainly could be one, absolutely. But my experience is also that this is an issue that is everywhere, and some of the more serious claims that I've seen have actually arisen even in a law firm context. So the fact that somebody
people should know better.
The fact that somebody knows the law doesn't mean that they're not going to engage in inappropriate conduct.
Exactly. Another question I have here is, when no other employees have witnessed the incident, doesn't become kind of a he said, she said? I mean, do you run into that problem more often than not in sexual harassment law where there's no witnesses? What are your thoughts on that?
That's a great question, Jack. And I think, yes, that's certainly an issue in these types of cases. However, as technology progresses, I'm finding that to be less of an issue.
Emails,
text messages, cell phone records. There are independent ways now to verify whether certain communications occurred.
That's a good question. Are employees bound legally to speak up if they have witnessed sexual harassment of a coworker?
Of a coworker. So that's an interesting question. So I would say of a coworker, they're not legally obligated. However, if you're a supervisor, I think the answer is different. If a supervisor becomes aware that someone is being sexually harassed, then I think that supervisor absolutely has a legal obligation to address the situation. Either that person addresses it or they take it to the right person within the organization who can do something about it.
What advice do you have for victims of sexual harassment who don't want to file a complaint out of fear of retaliation or fear of losing their job?
That's a huge concern. When people come to see me with that concern, sometimes I advise them to, take steps to document what's happening to them so that at least when that moment comes, if they do lose their job, they're in the best position possible to pursue the claim.
Right. Because obviously, you can't retaliate under the law. If you do, that becomes part of damages in the suit. Right.
That's correct.
Yeah. Another question here, how does verbal sexual harassment differ from actually being touched? What's your response to that?
Boy, you got great questions today. So my view is that unwelcome touching is always or almost always going to be much more significant than verbal comments. I suppose there can be exceptions to that, but in my practice, that's my thought process. Is this a claim that involves unwelcome touching, in which case my red flag goes up much faster, or is it one that simply involves unwelcome comments? And then if the latter, what are the comments? Are the comments somebody's being called honey, babe, sweetheart, which, in my opinion, under the law as it's progressed, isn't going to state a claim for sexual harassment? Or are these really, truly vulgar, offensive comments, which certainly could be protected?
So we take our favorite hypothetical. Say there's a CEO of a large pizza corporation sitting in a car with a woman, and he, says something. What did he say to her? Something clearly offensive. You want a job, right? I think is what he said to her.
And with an unwelcome touching.
Allegedly. Yeah. With the unwelcome touching, there's no doubt in your mind that that would state a claim.
I believe so.
Yeah. Okay. Question here is, what can employers do after a claim is made? Can they transfer employees to different departments, let the employee go, pay a severance? The answer to that is no, right? That's retaliation.
Well, that's a couple of different questions all wrapped up into one.
Okay.
So can they transfer the person? My view on that is the correct way to handle that situation, if someone comes forward and makes a harassment complaint against her supervisor, if you're going to remove one of those people from the workplace, it should be the supervisor, not the person complaining, for the very reason you pointed out, that to move the complaining party could very well be viewed as retaliation. But you got into a second issue, which I think is very interesting about the Herman Cain situation, which is his comment that he wasn't aware of any settlements. He was only aware of agreements.
Right, which any lawyer will tell you, I mean, there's no difference there.
In my view and in my day-to-day practice, that's correct. Lots of these claims get settled well before a lawsuit is filed. They may be settled strictly internally within the company, they could be settled once the person has filed a charge with the administrative agency, but before an investigation occurs. And then they can be settled yet again at the end of that investigation. So to me, the fact that somebody, the fact that they entered into an agreement is code to me that the claims were settled.
Yeah. How often in your experience do those agreements then contain confidentiality provisions?
Nearly always.
Nearly always, yeah. That makes a lot of sense. Another question here, how often do these claims turn out to be false? And they're just being used for power play within the workplace. I guess it's unfortunate that anybody tried to do that, but how often have you actually seen that in your practice?
You know, I would say less that they turn out to be false and more that people don't understand what really is covered under the sexual harassment law. Not every comment that makes you unhappy in the workplace rises to the level of sexual harassment.
Right, exactly. The standard under the law is what? That it has to...
It has to be severe and pervasive.
Severe and pervasive, right. I have a question here. What happens in a small company that doesn't have an HR department?
So in those circumstances, if it's a really small company, one with 15 or less employees, the avenue for the employee here in Arizona would be to go to the Arizona Civil Rights Division, because that's who investigates claims against employers with less than 15 employees. If it's an employer that's small but has more than 15, then I would still encourage that person to either seek, you know, a legal consultation with someone like myself or proceed directly to the EEOC.
So it's called the Arizona Civil, it's part of the AG's office, right? The Attorney
Correct.
General's office.
The ACRD.
Do they have a website system where you can file a claim?
They do. Both the EEOC and the state agency have their claim forms on the web.
Right. Okay. I want to thank my guest, Ms. Michelle Matheson of Matheson Matheson. And you want to throw out the website for your firm?
Sure. My firm website is www.mathesonlegal.com, and Matheson Legal is all one word.
Okay. Thanks again for coming on the show. When we come back, we've got the controversial pastor, Terry Jones, Jack Wilinchuk and KFNX.
CNN Radio, I'm Edgar Tragetz. Stocks got hammered on Wall Street Wednesday. Fears over Italy's financial future sent the Dow down 389 points, and both the NASDAQ and S&P 500 each sank nearly 4%. At least three people have been killed and more than 50 buried under rubble in the aftermath of a 5.7 magnitude earthquake that struck Turkey. This follows a 7.2 quake that struck the same area of eastern Turkey last month. Legendary Penn State head football coach Joe Paterno says he's retiring at the end of this season. His announcement comes in the wake of child sex abuse allegations against a former assistant coach. Players like sophomore Alex Butterworth got the word from the coach today.
It's just an honor to be able to actually say that I played under Joe Paterno. And to hear the news was obviously really sad. There were some tears, and it's just sad.
Paterno ends a 46-year run at Penn State. This is CNN.
Arizona News Radio, eastbound Interstate 10 traffic in southeast Phoenix reopened after a deadly traffic accident with two tankers. There's still problems for westbound.
This was a tanker dairy truck that rear-ended another tanker truck. We believe that truck was carrying diesel, a diesel gas byproduct.
Customs and Border Protection officers at Nogales fined a ton and a half of marijuana in a shipment of watermelons.
The watermelons were in containers or crates, large crates, the kind you see in grocery stores and usually pick them up. And then the bundles were just concealed, you know, inside the crates.
The jury in the trial of convicted Baseline killer Mark Goodell hears from relatives of some of his victims.
Family members of murder victim Georgia Thompson tell the court Goodell took away a loving, vivacious, and smart daughter and sister.
Chandler police arrest five students at a junior high for threatening their teacher.
Based off of the very graphic language that was on the note.
George Tanner, Arizona News.
This check of your KFNX traffic, once again brought to you by Subway Restaurants. Look for an injury collision, 19th Avenue at Dunlap. Also, we have a wreck, 47th Avenue at Northern. And we still have that clearance work caution, westbound loop 202 at Sky Harbor Boulevard, scene of an earlier accident. Come in for the Subway featured 5-foot-long November chicken marinara melt this month only for $5. Subway Eat Fresh, limited time only. Prices and participation may vary. See store for details. Here's your Wednesday afternoon forecast.
Jim Howell from the KFNX Weather Center. Hope you're enjoying some warmer weather. We'll continue mid-70s tomorrow and Friday before another storm approaches late Saturday. Scattered desert showers for the valley Saturday evening. Return cooler on Sunday. Jim Howell, KFNX News Talk Radio, 1100.
Thank you, Jimmy. Currently we're at 72 degrees. Our next news will be in 30 minutes or when it breaks. You're listening to KFNX News Talk Radio 1100. I'm Chet Reynolds. You're up to date.
Since 1991, the law offices of Willinchek & Bartness have provided the quality business litigation service that you'd find at a big firm with small firm atmosphere. Willinchek & Bartness focus on cases involving breach of contract, real estate litigation, construction defect, business fraud, and breach of fiduciary duty. For professional yet very personal legal representation, call Willinchek & Bartness today at 602-606-2810. That's 602-606-2810.
These days you hear them everywhere. Get out of debt quick promises asking you to call right now to solve all your credit problems. But please, listen carefully. Don't make a huge mistake. There is a better way. Trinity Debt Management. Many debt settlement companies have created a dangerous misunderstanding. Simply put, debt settlement often ends up destroying your credit and ultimately may lead to asset seizure and bankruptcy. There is a better way out. Trinity Debt Management can show you how to pay off your debt, preserve your good name, save thousands in interest, and in the end, actually improve your credit rating, not destroy it. Say no to debt settlement. Say yes to debt management. Trinity Debt Management. Make the right choice and become debt-free for keeps. Call 1-800-758-5360. That's 1-800-758-5360.
Every day is a holiday in Healthy Habit Health Food Store, 6029 North 7th Street. Tune in to Healthy House Call discussing the latest breakthroughs of integrative medicine. Tune in Monday through Friday, 9 to 10 a.m. and call with your questions, 602-266-1000. Discover world-class physicians, medical researchers, Hollywood celebrities, professional athletes, and testimonials from our patients and consumers of natural products. Call 602-266-1000.
Welcome back to Legalese. This is your host, Jack Willinchek. Your regular host, Dennis Willinchek, couldn't make it today. For the second half of the show, we'll be talking to Pastor Terry Jones. You may remember Terry Jones as being the controversial pastor who threatened to burn the Quran and followed through on that promise. In response, there were protests in Afghanistan in which several people were murdered. In April 2011, Pastor Jones burned the book after a jury composed of the members of his congregation reached a verdict that the Quran was guilty of crimes against humanity. The jury said the book was guilty of the, quote, death, rape, and torture of people worldwide whose only crime is not being of the Islamic faith, end quote. Pastor Jones, are you on the line?
Yes, I am.
Okay. We invite you on the show today for a couple reasons. I understand, first of all, that you've announced you're running for president.
That's correct.
Why don't you tell us why you're doing that?
Well, this has a couple of reasons. And number one, of course, we have a great love and concern for America. I spent 30 years overseas as a missionary. So when I came back to America, I was somewhat horrified by the condition of America, the moral condition, the financial condition of America. So number one, we just have a great concern for America, for the direction that is going. And number two, we feel that the politicians that are running right now, they are not telling the American people the total truth. They're not telling them the actual condition that we are in. As we're all aware of, our country is in debt. We are $14.9 trillion in debt. In order to fix this particular problem, it's not going to be an easy fix. It's going to be very difficult, very painful. We're going to have to take some drastic measures and some drastic cuts, and we feel that the politicians that are running right now are not letting the American people know the condition of America and what is actually necessary in order to still save America.
Well, I tell you, I just listened to you talk there for 30 seconds, and I didn't hear the word religion once. So I'm guessing is that still an issue for you?
You mean Islam?
Islam, right.
Yeah, Islam is, of course, still an issue for us, especially the instituting of Sharia law, sending a very clear message to the Muslim community that they are welcome here in this country, as long as they honor and obey and submit to the Constitution of the United States. If they desire to change that, to alter the Constitution, to adapt or to adopt Sharia into our system, then they are, of course, not welcome. At this particular time, we feel like the major problem in America is an economical problem dealing with the budget issue. So right now, we feel the greatest threat to America is not Islam, of course, at this particular time, but our national debt and how to deal with that and taking the necessary steps that are going to be very painful to get us out of this desperate situation.
When you say we, are you referring to you and your campaign? Are you referring to your church?
Yeah, I'm referring to we as the American people. One of our goals and efforts, the Constitution says we the people, not we the politicians. We are hoping through our campaign, through Stand Up America Now, we are hoping to wake up America and have them see the condition that we are in. And that's something very drastic, and we all have to deal with issues that are very uncomfortable, whether it be our military spending, whether it be our problem that we have with our illegal alien situation here in America. That is what we mean by we. We as the American people are going to have to wake up in order to deal with the situation.
Okay, well, it sounds like you're backing off of some of these religious issues that have put you in the spotlight. Would you agree with that? Is that no longer your top priority, the issues with Islam?
Yeah, I definitely would not agree with that. I think as far as Islam goes, we are not backing off at all. We are definitely, as I said, against the radical element of Islam, against any instituting of Sharia law into our governmental system. We feel that there should be some monitoring of the mosques to make sure that they are places of worship and not propaganda. It's just that at this particular time, with the United States being in the condition that it is in, we feel right now that our economical problems at this particular time outweigh the problems that we have with Islam.
Okay, so Islam is not your top priority, but it's still a priority for you.
Correct.
You said earlier that you would want to send a message, and you just mentioned that you want to monitor mosques, correct?
Yeah, according to the latest study, I think it's the only study that we have concerning this. I believe it was done during the Clinton administration. It found then that 80% or 85% of all mosques were run by radical imams. And because of that finding...
I'm sorry, who did that? Who performed that study?
That study was done during the Clinton administration.
By who?
I believe it's the same report that... I believe the congressman there, Peter King, quoted during his time there concerning Islam and Sharia law.
But do you know who conducted that report?
I do not have it in my head right offhand. No, I do not. Sorry.
Okay. Go ahead.
Yeah, but because of that study, we feel that there needs to be some monitoring or at least some control checking. To make sure, check on the literature that is being distributed, to make sure that the mosque in America are places of worship and not of Islamic propaganda.
So, do you believe that that would be constitutional to monitor mosques?
I think it would be very difficult. I think there's no doubt about it, because of our, of course, First Amendment, freedom of religion. It's just that I think that any organization, if it can be determined that our organization definitely does create some type of threat or large threat to national security, I believe at the same time we have to do something. And, of course, it is very clear that there is a radical element of Islam. That element of Islam is also, in my opinion, fairly large and very dangerous. And I think that we need to take some type of action. Otherwise, we will find ourselves in a similar situation that Europe is in right now. Europe is facing or having very much trouble right now with the radical element of Islam, whether it be Germany or France or England. Norway, I think different places.
Well, Norway comes to my mind because Norway's had a problem with extremist elements of Christianity as well. Wouldn't you agree with that?
Well, they had a problem. I don't know if you could globalize it and just say they have
a problem
and compare it with Islam, because Islam spreads all across the world. Islam-dominated countries, we see the oppression there, we see the murder. What happened there in Norway was, I believe, more a isolated incident, plus that man that did the killing and the attacking, as far as I know, he did not kill any Muslims at all. So I don't know how much of a direct attack it was against the Muslim community.
Okay. Before you talked about sending a message, again, you've mentioned monitoring mosques. Would there be anything else in the way of legislation that you want to push for on this issue if you were to become president?
Concerning Islam. I think the only other thing I would like to see, although probably according to the First Amendment it's not absolutely necessary, but I would like to see the nationwide banning of Sharia, yes.
Banning of Sharia. Well, what does Sharia law mean to you?
Yeah, Sharia law, I would also use just as a global term. In other words, I am against, which I guess most Americans are or should be, I am against our government or our country being governed by any type of foreign law, whether it be radical Islam, whether it come from some other element. I believe anyone who comes to this country and immigrates here should be willing to honor and obey and submit to the Constitution of the United States, and that this country can only be governed by one set of rules and regulations, in other words, constitutional law.
Okay, we have to take a break here in a couple moments. But when we come back, we're talking to Pastor Terry Jones, the controversial pastor who burned the Koran earlier this year. This is Jack Wilinchek on KFNX 1100 AM.
Fighting for limited government, personal responsibility, and free markets. Don't Tread on Me Radio every Monday from 3 to 4 on KFNX 1100. Brought to you by theteaparty.net. Radio on a mission. Don't Tread on Me Radio from 3 to 4 on KFNX 1100.
Since 1991, the law offices of Wilinchek & Bartness have provided the quality business litigation service that you'd find at a big firm with small firm atmosphere. Wilinchek & Bartness focus on cases involving breach of contract, real estate litigation, construction defect, business fraud, and breach of fiduciary duty. For professional yet very personal legal representation, call Wilinchek & Bartness today at 602-606-2810. That's 602-606-2810.
Homeowners, did you know a burglar could break into your home and get away in just 5 minutes? A locked door may not be enough to keep a thief out of your home. Think about what you can lose, and then think about this. Now you can get a free security system monitored by ADT, the leader in home security. Pick up your phone now and get free hardware, free medical and fire alert, and free activation. It's an $850 value. Just call Protect Your Home, your authorized ADT dealer, at 1-800-948-7434. You'll get 24-hour protection, and there's no cost for parts or activation. So call now about a free security system monitored by ADT. Call 1-800-948-7434. $99 installation charge. 36-month monitoring agreement at $35.99 a month. Call for terms and conditions to this offer and Protect Your Home license numbers. Call now. 1-800-948-7434. That's 1-800-948-7434.
Your home for the Michael Savage Show. Monday through Friday starting at 5. Only on 1100 KFNX. And streaming live at 1100KFNX.com.
Breaking the law. Breaking the law. Breaking the law.
Welcome back to Legalese. This is Jack Willinchek filling in for Dennis Willinchek. We have on the line today Pastor Terry Jones. Many of you may remember Pastor Jones as the pastor who threatened to burn the Quran and followed through with that promise earlier this year. Pastor Jones, over the break, somebody did a little bit of research to try to find the study that you're referring to. They did find a study that was done by the Duke Sanford School of Public Policy and the University of North Carolina. Isn't that where you're from, North Carolina?
No. I live, of course, in Florida there, okay. But I'm originally from Missouri.
Okay. The study that we found, again, by the Duke School of Public Policy and the University of North Carolina, said that many contemporary mosques are actually a deterrent to the spread of militant Islam. Many imams make an effort to, a significant effort to counter extremism by building youth programs, sponsoring anti-violence forums, and scrutinizing teachers and texts. But you would disagree with that, Pastor?
Yeah, I think I would definitely disagree with that. Just because of the history of Islam. I mean, I think what we have to see is when we see the history of Islam, whenever they are a minority in a country like they are here, the same way they started out in Europe.
Well, let's talk about that. I'd like to talk about that. You said the history of Islam, but surely the history of Islam is different from Islam today. You don't believe
that? Well, the history of Islam, now the history of Islam seems to continue. It started out, of course, pretty violent. The history I'm referring to is whenever they come into a country, as long as they are in the minority, let's say under 2%, usually they play pretty peaceful. But as they begin to grow, and as they begin to get grow in population and grow in numbers, they begin there to try to exercise more and more authority. For example, trying to institute Sharia. Those are the patterns of Islam. We see
keep
that
referring
pattern
to,
there in
Europe. To Sharia law. Maybe you can be more specific. Who's tried to institute Sharia law in America?
Well, Sharia law, according to also a recent study, I don't have that study in front of me, but according to a recent study there, Sharia law has already been partly used here in America.
Where?
In 50 different court cases in 23 different states. It actually was just recently used in, I believe, around a month ago in Tampa, Florida.
So the judge actually cited Sharia law in his opinion. Is that what you're saying?
Excuse me?
The judge in these cases actually cited Sharia law in his opinion.
Yes, he used Sharia law.
He cited the Quran.
Excuse me?
Is all Sharia law from the Quran? Do you know the answer to that question?
Sharia law is not directly from the Quran, but what we are talking about here is any type of law. We don't have to just disemphasize Sharia. We're talking about, of course, any type of law, any type of foreign law that anyone would try to institute outside of our constitutional law. That is actually our issue, whether you call it Sharia, whether you call it some other form. We are against any type of law other than our constitutional law, and anyone who comes to this country, in our opinion, needs to be willing to submit, honor, and obey the Constitution.
Well, I'm asking this question because, you know, that's what we talk about here on the show is the law. You're saying that there's a number of courts in the United States who are basing their opinions on the laws of other countries. Is that what you're saying?
I'm saying that has happened, yes. We can also send you that information and that study that was done.
I'd love to see that. Yeah.
Like I said, the other one is also recent. That just happened in Tampa, Florida. There was a dispute there that they were having within the government of a mosque, and the judge referred them to settle that particular dispute with Sharia law.
With Sharia law, okay.
Yeah.
Is there a way to look?
If that's not taking place, there's no reason then why we cannot ban Sharia law in America.
Well, it sounds like you're not so sure it's taking place. You said if that's not taking place, you're not so sure that it is taking place.
I am pretty sure it's taking place, but the point is,
pretty sure.
For people who do not believe that, we can still unite together under the heading of Sharia law should be, or any type of foreign law, should be banned in the United States. That is what I have tried many times to get the Muslim community to do.
I think the laws of Uruguay to do that. Are banned in the Constitution, too, but I don't see that as being a big problem. I'm not sure that Sharia law infiltrating to the courts of the United States is a big problem either, but prove me wrong.
Well, I think it could be a problem. Like I said, I spent 30 years in Europe, and in Europe it is definitely growing into quite a large problem. They have even had areas of London there where radical Islam has declared different areas of London as no-Muslim zones, Sharia zones. I think definitely it can be a problem. It's being a problem there in Europe. And also what we want to do is prevent something before it actually becomes a problem. So actually there's nothing wrong with simply making a statement at this time and banning Sharia nationwide.
I don't know that, you know, it's an impending issue, but again, you know, prove me wrong. Let me ask you a little bit about, you mentioned history before, and I'm a bit of a history buff. I take a little bit of an issue with affiliating Islam. I take a big issue with affiliating Islam with violence. I'll tell you why. Historically, Christianity has been just as affiliated with violence as Islam ever has. If you have any doubt of that, and I'm guessing you do, take one look at the Crusades. I mean, the tables were turned. You had, people allegedly on behalf of Christianity waging war against people of the Muslim faith. Again, on behalf of religion, you could have alleged that, you know, well, Christianity is a violent religion, but of course it's not true. How do you respond to that?
Well, of course, the Crusades were also an isolated event. They were something that are also now in our modern day and not condoned.
Fair enough.
The problem that we have with Islam.
Who's to say that Muslim extremism today isn't also an isolated event?
Because it's not. Because it's been going on for 1,400 years. It did not start and
stop. The Crusades went on for hundreds of years.
They did not. They still do not even acknowledge most of the time that there is a radical element of Islam. I have many friends who have escaped Muslim-dominated countries who live now here, and they have experienced firsthand the things that go on in those countries. There are no freedom of speech. There's no freedom of religion.
That's fair. I'm not going to argue with that. I agree that there are extremist people of the Islamic faith, but I say to you that there are extremists. There are probably an equal number of extremist people of the Christian faith. I'll tell you what my view on this is. Absolutely not, you said. Well, just earlier you were telling me that the Crusades were an isolated incident. That you would agree that that was an incident of violence on behalf of the Christian faith.
I would also
an
agree
isolated
that they're
one,
not
said.
Continuing.
I'm sorry?
I would also agree that they are not continuing. And radical
and
Islam,
who's to say that
course,
radical Islam will continue forever? We're seeing a lot of revolutions in a lot of these countries. Maybe someday they'll get a little bit more civilized and they'll stop a lot of these things that you object to and I don't deny happen.
Yeah, that could be. But, I mean, we still have to protest as long as they are happening right now. And just to justify the fact that Christians also did this or that, I mean, that does not justify, of course, the radical element of Islam at this particular time. It also does not mean we should not do anything against it.
Let me tell you what my view is. I agree that we should object to violence on behalf of religion. But where I disagree with you is that I don't think people are doing it because of religion. I think that just as the Crusaders weren't doing what they did truly on behalf of Christianity. I don't think Christianity is a violent religion. I don't think Muslim extremists are really doing what they're doing on behalf of Islam. I don't think Islam is a violent religion. But you would disagree. You think that Islam is a violent religion.
Well, as far as the fruits of it, I definitely do. I mean, I don't see any positive fruits in Muslim-dominated countries. I see positive fruits in countries who are considered to be somewhat Christian-type countries. But in Islam-dominated countries, I do not see any positive fruit there, and I do not see those freedoms.
Rather than blame that on the fact that they're third-world countries, like you know a lot of the world is, you'd blame that on their religion. I mean, how do you explain then why Africa is poor? There, a lot of Africa isn't Muslim.
Well, a large part of Africa is Muslim, but I'm talking right now about the Muslim-dominated countries. That is what we're dealing with. Those countries do not allow for freedom of religion, freedom of speech, or even normal human rights, civil rights, women's rights. I mean, these are all issues that are that are 100% provable at this time. These are things that are going on. We see what's going on there in Egypt. We see what's going on all around the world, and especially in Muslim-dominated countries.
That may be, but again, my explanation is that they are third-world countries. It's not because of the religion.
Right.
You've got countries like Indonesia, which are increasingly first-world countries, have relatively few problems of this kind, in spite of the fact, as you would put it, that they're Muslim countries. So that's where I come out on this. I think that, you know, as these countries become more civilized, some of the things that you complain about, which are hard to deny, you know, some, like, for example, some of the things the Taliban instituted in Afghanistan, I think that they'll correct themselves, just as these countries, like, as they enter into the first world. But, you know, I tell you what, I appreciate you coming on the show, Pastor Jones. It's another thing we as Americans believe in, that everybody has the right to say what they believe in. So I thank you for coming on the show.
Yeah, thank you. Thank you.
Okay, that wraps up another episode of Legalese. This is your host for today, Jack Wilinchek. Your regular host, Dennis Wilinchek, couldn't make it. And until next time, I'm signing off, Chet. Okay, this is KFNX 1100 AM.
Thursdays at noon, the Makeover Advice Show with me, Diane Faith, the insider's guide to beauty for both men and women. Thursdays at noon, too fabulous to miss. Makeover,
makeover. Where else are you going to find a Master of Science program in technology that creates thinkers who understand how business works and how to apply the technology? Where else are you going to discover a graduate degree in technology that is customized to meet your objectives? Where else in the Valley, on campus or online, can you study at the only private university that gives you the opportunity to focus in specialized areas like network security, artificial life programming, and game studies, as well as technology management? Where else? Where else but the University of Advancing Technology? UAT's graduate technology program is accelerated. It combines business with technology. It offers the flexibility to adapt quickly to changes that come in high-tech fields. Feed your brain, lead, manage. You won't find this innovative environment anywhere else. UAT, the select private university where you'll be fully immersed in technology. The experience is unrivaled. Click uat.edu. That's uat.edu.
You're listening to KFNX News Talk Radio 1100, Cape Creek, Phoenix, the home of Lou Dobbs, weekdays at 1 p.m. on KFNX. KFNX.